In the passage that we read this morning from Samuel, the people are desperate for a king. Samuel is trying to say it will cost you 10%, 20% there. Part of you will be slave to this king. But they want one because they say the king will fight our battles for us, take some of the pressure off of our backs. What a huge tendency we have to do this. We realize we can't do everything. We know, if we're honest or introspective, that we may not even know what the right answer is. So we ask, where's the king? Give our earthly difficulties to the king. If we had a king, we would have peace of mind. Look, if nothing else, in our agitation, at least we have someone to blame if we have a king. I remember my shrink saying, I was complaining about my husband, and she said, well, that's what they're good for. Look, when I was in Jersey City, we figured out that the Honeywell Corporation had put chromium as landfill, and it was causing cancer. So when anyone got cancer or any kind of autoimmune disease, we would say, Honeywell. But I remember one time hitting my finger with a hammer and saying, Honeywell. Was you watching the CNN documentary about 1968? It was a little upsetting. But I remember in those years saying that the establishment did it. I remember an ice cream parlor went out of business on the corner, and I thought, that's the establishment. They took that ice cream parlor away. And when my eighth grade boyfriend had to stay home and help his mother, that was the establishment. We're all focused on President Trump. Most television news, Trump did it. Or other channels, Trump didn't do it. The point is, the king did it, the king didn't do it. It's all about the king. Do you see this great need we have for a king? Isn't there someone around here who's going to get us out of this mess? Or as the people put in the lesson today, isn't there someone around here who's going to go out before us, fight our battles for us? You know why? It's not because we're lazy or even that we lack courage. I'm amazed every day at the courage people have to be alive. It's not because we lack energy. People put huge amounts of energy into their lives. Look, you got up and you came here this morning already, Mazel Tov. I think it's because we need rest. We want rest. Our hearts are restless, and we're seeking a place of rest. Remember taking this flight to Ireland. And, you know, when you go to Ireland, the plane is going 600 miles an hour. And the stewardess says to this fellow sitting next to me, please pull down your shade. And he says, why? It's black out there. There's no light coming in my window anyway. And she said, because it gets early, fast out there. I understand what she meant. It really wasn't going to be nighttime so very long, not if you're traveling in that direction. To which the Bible says it sure does. That's why we want rest. It gets early out there. And the New York Times says it sure does. It gets early out there, and our spirits reply at every turn, it sure does. The stewardess only meant that if you're headed east in the evening at 600 miles an hour, you're in for a short night. But her words strike a deeper chord. It gets early out there in lots of ways. I see graduations happening at this time of year, and I see the children, and I think, boy, I thought you just got born. Some months ago, I was visiting an assisted living community near here, and I was waiting for someone to be ready to see me. And as I waited for this friend, I started to chat with the people in the living room area. And we talked about the fact that everyone had at one time lived in a home of their own for 30 and 40 years in that home. And they liked this community, this retired community, and they had chosen it. And they all felt that it was an excellent retirement community. And yet it still got early out there, the day they walked out the front door of their beloved homes for the last time. I visited a priest just recently who suffered a serious physical setback. And I told him about this sermon. And he told me I should say to you, the benefit of being really sick on Friday is that you don't have to write a sermon on Sunday. But he said, tell the people for me at St. Peter's, my sickness got to me early, real early. And the last and most obvious and most significant example is death. Death always gets early out there, with zero exceptions. Whether the person we're missing lived a long life or whether it was a life cut short, death always gets early. I looked in the face of Bev Lindsley, whose husband Muzz died, and he was buried out of this church just yesterday. And I could see the yearning in her eyes for just one more year, one more month, one more week, one more day, one more hour, one more minute. Death gets early out there. That's why Dylan Thomas wrote, "Do not go gentle into the good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." And if you feel this rage, if you know about it getting early out there, if you've experienced the frustration over not being able to control it getting early, if you understand what St. Paul meant when he said, I don't understand my own lack of control. I don't do what I want. I do the very thing I hate. Then you know that the result of all this is an ongoing, deep-seated restlessness, a state of never being fully at peace. But it gets really early out there when it's graduation or a nursing home or illness or a funeral parlor. And the result is always a lack of peace. There's no peace when it gets early. And Samuel advises them not to choose an earthly king, but they want rest, they want peace, and they're sure this king will give it to them. The God who has called us together at St. Peter's this very morning hates it when you and I have no peace. In the Gospels, Jesus constantly says, "Peace be with you," to those whom it is getting early. And I want to tell you what God wants you and me to do in order to find peace in the midst of a world where it gets early out there. But first, let me tell you what God does not want you to do. And you may be surprised at what I have to say. God does not want you to give more money. God does not want you to volunteer at St. Peter's. God does not want you to tutor in our tutoring program. And God does not want you to come to church more or pray more or visit more people in the hospital or nursing home. These are all good things. We're called to do them, especially the first one. But the basic response that Jesus asks of us is not to do anything. Oh, how my brothers and sisters love to stand up here and tell you what to do, as if they knew. Really? The call from Christ is for you and me to rest. Just rest. The word says, "Come unto me, all ye that are travailing and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest on the saving grace of Christ. Rest on what he has done for us. Just rest. You know, there's a missionary, John Patton, who lived 200 years ago. His family traveled to Scotland to the New Hebrides Islands as missionaries. And within the first 3 months, his wife and small son had both died. Patton continued to live there, and much of this time was spent on translating the Gospel of John into their native language. And as he was working on the translation, he got stuck on the expression to believe in or to trust in Jesus Christ. There were no words for belief or trust in the native language. The islanders were cannibals. Nobody trusted anybody. Can you? Just then, one of the islanders walked into the room where he was, and Patton asked him, "What am I doing?" And the man answered that he was sitting at his desk. And then Patton raised both his feet off the floor and sat back on his chair, and he said, "Now, what am I doing?" And replied the man, "Now you are," he used a verb in his own language that said, "to lean your whole weight upon." And Patton had his word. Throughout the gospel, he translated the word to believe in with a native word that means to lean your whole weight upon. No earthly kings. It's on the foundation of the love of Christ that we're invited to lean our whole weight and rest in peace in the midst of a world which gets awfully early. St. Augustine had exactly this in mind when he prayed, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." People ask me, how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we have peace in a world with such turmoil? How come so many at St. Peter's have smiles on their faces? How come we're smiling when in 5 years I have singly been unable to get a light bulb that lights Mary? Do you have any concept of the incompetency that takes? The bold audacity to get in front of you every single week with Mary not lit? Just saying. What are we smiling about? How come we're enjoying this beautiful music? Or as Martin Luther King said, "I'm not worried anymore." No earthly king. We are on the rock that lasts. Vacation Bible School is about to start. It runs for 6 weeks. This year we have a new co-director. You should have seen them yesterday out on the lawn singing songs about Jesus. There's some people responsible for the faith that it took to bring this school together. We had no idea what we were doing. We just invited them to start coming 4 years ago. We had no program. Just by the way, this building is not a summer camp. But it's going to be a summer camp. For 6 weeks, it'll be a summer camp. Dee Clickier, the principal of Harding Township School, retired and decided to devote her life to ministry and work at St. Peter's. Frank Fela made sure that we had the funds and the money to proceed on a course which we really didn't know where we were going. And Kay Fela sang to us and held up music for all it was worth so that children from this camp would proceed into our chorister program. Vacation Bible School is about to start. You know, and I was trying to stay at home and not talk to anybody yesterday. Yeah, good luck. And I got a text from Dee. It said this: "We're out on the lawn singing Bible songs. Come." You know, they sing a song in Vacation Bible School, and it goes like this. I want you to sing it with me, but I'll give you the words first. Jesus is the rock that lasts. Jesus is the rock that lasts. My soul has found its resting place. Jesus is the rock at last. Jesus is the rock that lasts. Jesus is the rock that lasts. My soul has found its resting place. Jesus is the rock at last. One more time. Jesus is the rock that lasts. Jesus is the rock that lasts. My soul has found its resting place. Jesus is the rock that lasts. We are on the rock that lasts. We are on the rock that lasts. Our souls have found their resting place. We are on the rock that lasts. Amen.